Aleluya, aleluya. Praise Jesus. Good morning. Aleluya. Probably the last week that you'll have itinerant preachers. And the pastor will be back next week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, as we continue in your presence this morning, Lord, we thank you. And we praise you, Lord. We continue with our time of worship to you, Lord God, as we hear your word. But Father, we know that it's more than just hearing. That it is the doing of the word, Lord God, to put those words into action, Lord God, that you so desire for us. Your desire for us, Lord God, is to become more like Jesus. And so, Lord, this morning we ask that your Holy Spirit, being here in the midst of us, Lord God, to make the changes that are necessary or begin to make the changes, Lord God, that are necessary in each one of our lives. And so, Lord, we just give you this time. And we give you thanks that we have this opportunity, Lord God, to be in your presence this day. And Lord, we desire to honor you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the title of this morning's message is Who Are You? In Acts 17, verse 28, it says, For in him we live and move and exist. Or even some of your own poets have said, For we also are his children. Now, Paul was talking to the Athenians, and there was an inscription on one of the, to an unknown God. And that's what he was talking about at that point in time. This morning we're going to attempt to discover who we really are. Each one of us has to search ourselves, to look ourselves basically in the mirror of God's word and to see where we stand with him in which each other in with ourselves. You know, today many people are walking around and living with a case of mistaken identity. It's not because you stole somebody's credit card. That's not what I'm talking about, but an identity that really is different from God's purpose for our lives. You know, it's during our younger years that we develop, we begin to uncover who we are and what we're to become in life. And in that process of growing up, we sometimes have the tendency to be attracted to certain individuals in other areas, other facets of life. And we begin to adore them, we idolize them, and sometimes we even get to the point that we really imitate them. Unfortunately, some of these idols, and that's truly what they are, because if you adore them, that's what they become, an idol. And that most of them, in fact, a lot of them that you see today are nothing more than smoke and mirrors. And they've been a deception. And they have no substance or characters within themselves. And yet people imitate them, adore them, and idolize them. So we easily get distracted as we're growing up to take a detour in life knowing that someone that we're not to be. Sometimes we're pressured by our peers into becoming something that we really are meant to be. We heard a lot about peer pressures in school, things like that. But even in our mainstream of life at work, sometimes you're pressured to be something that you're not. Perhaps sometimes to even change your integrity and your character just to keep up with the group. But regardless of what anybody thinks, you can become who God wants you to be. Now, the question this morning is, what does God want me to be? What purpose does he have for me and for you? We find out that in God's purposes, it doesn't make any difference whether you are on a social scale or a status, that you're in a certain clique or certain groups. It doesn't matter to him. He's not concerned with that. Your height has nothing to do with it. Your weight has nothing to do with it. Praise God. Our age, even more, praise God. Our personality or our appearance, it has nothing to do with what God wants you to be. Our identity is not found in who we are as individuals, but rather in whom we are. Now, people were constantly asking Jesus who he was. And some thought that he was a demon. We see that in the Word. Others thought that he was a prophet that had returned. Others thought him to be a rabbi. And others believed him to be the Son of God. Even Jesus asked his disciples the question, who do people say that I am? Now, Jesus knew who he was. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, wants us to know who we are. We need to have that confidence, that knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus knew who he was, and he's on several occasions, and many occasions, actually. I've only written down three. John 6:35, he says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. In John 8:12, he says, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 14:6, he says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus was constantly confessing who he is, what he is, and his mission in life. Now, who did God make you and me to be? He made you and I to be like Christ. That's his purpose. His desire is that we become like Jesus. And the first step to finding out your true identity, obviously, is to receive Christ into your heart, to receive him as Lord of your life and as Savior. And when we receive Christ as our Savior and acknowledge him as Lord of our life, we were spiritually transformed. We were born again we became a somebody from a nobody. and our spirit made new, and we became a new creation in this, in the sense that all that Christ is now in us. In 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5, and then 9 and 12, it says, and for those that are taking, going to the living stones, you probably remember some of this. In coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Now he's talking about Jesus there. And then he begins to talk about us. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In verse 9 it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are of the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observed them, glorify God in the day of visitation. It says that we are a chosen people. God has picked us out. He's picked out his building material, you and I. And it is this desire that all will be saved. And it's his desire that all will be saved, that we all become living stones. He has chosen us, and will. And we have accepted the opportunity to be part of his plan, to be structured for his building from blueprints he has made and laid out. And according to Psalm 139, before we were even born, we're here as living stones. Living stones. And for you, Psalm 139 says in verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You have me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. In my soul, I know it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought into the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God knew us before we were born. God knew us before we were even formed. God knew us from the beginning of time. He knows us inside out. The word says that we are a royal priesthood. We have an intimate relationship with God, and with such relationship we freely flow as we come into his presence with spiritual songs, hymns, thoughts, and praise. We're a holy nation, God's people, especially prepared by God to be used for his purposes. And we belong to God. We have been bought with a price. the precious blood of Jesus, sacrificed for our sins to purchase our redemption from the bondage of this world and to be free in His Spirit. Who we once were, who we are now. And as believers, as followers of Christ, we will never fully appreciate who we are now in Christ until we understand who we once were without Christ. Who we once were without Christ in 1 Peter 2 verses 10 says, "For if you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We see that there was a time in God's word telling us when we were not a people. When Israel, the chosen people, were. But we, the Gentiles, were not. And there was a time when we were just a mishmash group of people who had no identity. We were nomads passing through this world because we were not in Christ. We were not in Christ. A time when Peter says we were without mercy, but because we were not participants to God's special mercy, which He showed to the children of Israel, His chosen people. Paul refers to our condition in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 2. He says, when he says of this, of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were us. I say were us, because you're no longer a Gentile. You've been redeemed. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." That's our condition. That's where we were. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. For those that do not know Christ, that spirit is at work in them to disobey God. So there was a time when each one of us here walked in darkness. We walked in darkness. We were not a people. We wandered in this world. We sinned and we trespassed against God. In Ephesians 2, verses 3 through 22, it says, "Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." We were children of the wrath, and we so richly deserved it, because we were in our sin. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love, which He loved us, He loved you and I, each one of us here present, He loves. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised up with Him and seated up with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's nothing that we've done. It is all him who has done it for you and I. He's the one that saves, not us. For we are his workmanship, it says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, we were uncircumcised. Circumcision was by the Jews, which is performed by flesh on human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from God, Christ. Excluded. You weren't part. I wasn't part of the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope in what God, and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were left off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. By his precious blood, we've been brought in. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall between the chosen people and the Gentiles. Was a dividing wall. By abolishing it in this flesh, in his flesh, the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, in peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Who is our access? Our access is Jesus Christ himself. The word is here saying that you who were once Gentiles have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. The chosen people of God have access to the Father through the same, through Jesus Christ. So then, because of that access to the Father, you and I are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints in our God's household, having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We're being built as living stones. Do you think that every stone that is picked up for the building is perfect? There needs to be some building construction that takes place. There needs to be some chipping away. And only God does the chipping, but we have to submit to that chipping so that we become what He desires for us to become. Part of that foundation, part of that building that He's prepared, that He's building. And that's what we were when we did not know Christ. We were without Christ. In fact, we were without God. That was our state. We were dead in our trespasses and our transgressions and our sins. We had no mercy given to us. But God richly gave us mercy through the precious blood of Jesus. And so from that point on, now are in Christ. Who are you in Christ? In 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. You're no longer in darkness, but you are in His light. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're His. You're His children. We've been called out. You know, there are times we could not see when we were blinded to the truth of God. But God, in His great, wonderful mercy, reached out and rescued us from the dark, shining His light into our life. Paul says in Colossians 1:12-14, he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You know, God did all of this in His love. Without our assistance, we didn't have to help Him. He didn't need our help. He did it all, making us a people who once were not a people, bringing us into the inheritance just as the nation of Israel was part of that inheritance promised to Abraham. Who we are today, children of the promise, regarded as Abraham's children. We belong to God if we have received the free gift of salvation that He has offered to us. When you become a Christian, you identify completely that you are wrapped up in Christ. You are in Christ. You don't have a being unless you're in Christ. First words was that we live, we exist because of Him. Who does God say that you are in Christ? He says, you and I are accepted in Christ. Acceptance implies recognition. He knows us. He knows us. In Christ, we are recognized as one of God's children. We're recognized. He speaks blessings towards you and I. We've been justified. We've been justified as if we'd never sinned because of the precious blood of Jesus. I'm significant in Christ. Does everyone here mourn, desires, craves for significance? My life needs, I want it to have purpose, that it has meaning. Not because I wake up every morning and it's, and I know for some of us it's the same routine. Day after day after day. It's a humdrum sort of existence. But should we not be looking for a day with purpose in God? God, you have something for me today. What am I to do for you that I may honor and glorify you? I don't want this day to be mundane, but I want to be it of significance, that it matters, that I have glorified you in this day. You know, we matter to God. And sometimes we don't think that. But we do matter to God. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our spirit is created in the image and likeness of God. We're complete in Him, in Christ. We're the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We stand before Him, we stand before God righteously because of Jesus, not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus. We can stand before Him. You know, there's no lack in our lives. He provides for everything. In every area of your life, think of it, God is providing according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It says we have the mind of Christ. In John 14:26, He sent us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in His name, and He will teach you all things and bring you into remembrance all that I have said to you. You have a teacher. You have a comforter. You have one that brings you peace, that brings you prosperity, that brings you salvation day by day. You are His in Christ Jesus. How do you know who you are? Read your word. Read the word of God. And you'll know that He loves you. And you'll know what He's done for you. And you'll know what your response will be to Him. Your thanksgiving to Almighty God. Who are you? I'm a child of the living God. My desire is to know Him fully, to glorify Him, to honor Him, and to magnify His name. That's who I am. That's who you are. Amen. Praise the Lord.